Stomach Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. Thanks to Superbook Sports, live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios. And we are live on Radio Row, brought to you by Social Furniture on Charlotte Avenue in the Richland Creep Shopping Center. Pay no money down and no interest for 1 year right now during their tax refund sale. So let me say this about the Super Bowl. The one thing that has depressed me this whole week, and I got over it actually by talking to AJ on Monday at the opening night, but it was the fact that AJ Brown is in the Super Bowl and the Titans are. When I was a kid, every time the Super Bowl was played, I would always think about how far away the Titans were. And if the Titans were right there, like when the Ravens won in 2000, it was heartbreaking. It was gut-punching. It was depressing, which is exactly how I felt last season when the Rams won the Super Bowl, knowing that in my heart, I think the Titans would have beaten Kansas City and Nashville, and I think they would have beaten the Rams again in L.A., just if they didn't turn the ball over against Cincinnati. That's tough. I also find myself getting depressed sometimes watching the Super Bowl the years that the Titans have been really, really bad, because I'll watch the Super Bowl and I'll think to myself, man, look at this Denver Broncos defense with DeMarcus Ware and Von Miller and Chris Harris and all these great players on it. And the Titans are running Bleedy Ray Wilson and Cody Sensabaugh out at corner. They're the worst team in the league. They're 3-13. They don't have a quarterback. There's no way they're going to be able to compete with the Denver Broncos or the Carolina Panthers, who are 15-1 with Cam Newton as league MVP at quarterback. There's just no way. And that would depress me too. Very rarely do I approach the Super Bowl the way I feel about this one, which is, I think the Titans are a lot closer than we think. Rand Carthon was asked about that when he took the job, and he talked about how it's time to win now. And I know with Mike Vrabel as the coach, for all you people out there that say, it's time to start over, it's time to rebuild, it's time to, the offensive line, the receivers, trading A.J. Brown, close the window, move off of Tannehill, all those things. I'm telling you, Mike Vrabel's not going to do that. And I'll tell you why Mike Vrabel's not going to do that. Because any coach who does that is signing up for misery. Because losing in the NFL equals misery. So I ask myself this. How far away are the Titans from these two teams? They got smoked by the Eagles in Philadelphia. And I think the Eagles are the most complete team in the NFL. They got beaten by 3 points at the end of overtime by Kansas City with Malik Willis at quarterback. It's just like Jason Anderson, the Kansas City radio host, just said on our show. He said, if Ryan Tannehill plays that Chiefs game, the Titans win. Which takes me back to how far away are the Titans. You know, 2 years ago, people thought that the Philadelphia Eagles were in deep trouble. Carson Wentz didn't want to come back. They had already fired Doug Peterson in order to placate Wentz. They had holes all around. They missed the playoffs. That Super Bowl window in which they had won one with that group before under Doug Peterson, that thing was over. It's time to start it up again. And here they are 2 years later. Now let's flip it. Let's look at teams that this time last year we thought, oh, they're right there. Green Bay, where are they? The Rams, last year's champion. How optimistic are you that Matthew Stafford is going to be able to put together something without Andrew Wentworth on their offensive line? He retired. Without Avon Miller because he's off in Buffalo. How optimistic are you that the Rams are going to be competing for the Super Bowl anytime soon? Me neither. When it comes to the Titans, I see a team that has pieces in place to be successful next year. Yes, the offensive line is a mess, and they'll have to figure that out. Yes. Yes, I would agree. They need help on the defensive line outside of Autry, who's going to get older, and Simmons. And Harold Landry returns, but they still need another pass rusher. They have no middle linebackers right now. And I know they need some work at corner. And that's a lot of work. And that's a lot of maneuvering in the draft. And that's a lot of getting picks right. And that's a lot of signing free agents appropriately. And there's a lot of anxiety that could be had about, are the Titans actually going to be able to do any of that? And I understand why you would feel that way. I understand if you look at these two teams and you see a superstar quarterback in Patrick Mahomes, that it doesn't matter if they trade away his number one target, they keep on trucking, as opposed to the Titans who traded away their number one target and it completely nuked the franchise for a season. I understand if you look at that and you get depressed, because I know the Titans will never have a Patrick Mahomes. I know it. As long as Vrabel's the coach, and it's not a knock on Vrabel, but as long as he's the coach, it is impossible for them to have a Mahomes. And you can look at the Eagles, and you can look at how the Eagles absolutely murdered the Titans. And you can say to yourself, that's how far away they are. And you can see A.J. Brown playing for the Eagles, and you can put your head in your hands, and you can shake your head, and you can cry your tears. But remember that 2 years ago, San Francisco was 6-10. 2 years ago, the Eagles had to completely start over. They didn't want Jalen Hurts to be their quarterback. They wanted Carson Wentz to be their quarterback. The Titans are not that far away. They have the coach. They have a handful of really good players in the league that keep them competitive with everybody, no matter how many injuries they have. I'm not depressed when I think about these two teams playing each other, because I don't think that the Titans are as far away as I normally feel. I also don't feel like the Titans squandered a humongous opportunity like I felt last year, like I felt in 2002 when they lost to the Raiders in the AFC Championship game, like I felt in 2000 when they lost to the Ravens in the divisional round of the playoffs. I'm not overly optimistic like I was in 2019 when the Titans made it to the AFC Championship game out of nowhere, but I'm also not depressed in thinking that it is as massive as an uphill climb as everybody's going to make it out to be. So at least that should make the game on Sunday somewhat enjoyable. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Corey Curtis, News 2, will join us next, and then we will start rolling with some of your phones. 615-737-1025 on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Let me tell you about TriStar Moving. That's my official movers. I love TriStar Moving. I moved with TriStar 2 years ago, back when Carson Wentz was still the quarterback of the Eagles. I moved with TriStar Moving. It was a wonderful experience. I loved it, and I know you will too. It's real easy to use TriStar Moving. Just trust me on this. Why? Because I did it. And so I always tell people, when you're going through the moving process, get a bid. Because when you get a bid, you'll be able to compare it with everybody else. You'll be able to compare the experience. You'll be able to do all of those things. And you will realize how much more TriStar has to offer than everybody else. Also, if you tell them I sent you, they'll give you 10% off, which is a lot of money on a move. That's TriStar Moving, 615-640-1219. Or visit them online at nashvillemoving.org/radio. Tell them Jared Stillman sent you for 10% off your entire move. That's TriStar Moving, my official movers. Stillman and Company live from Radio Row here at Super Bowl 57 in Phoenix. Again, no Titans. But the Titans did make news by switching the offensive coordinator, elevating Tim Kelly to the position earlier in the week. Derrick Henry was talking with Jim Wyatt yesterday and said that he likes the move, and that he, of course he said it. What, you can expect Derrick Henry to sit there and say, well, I tell you, I hate that move that they made with Tim Kelly. I think he's a bum. Of course not. That's not going to happen. But everybody that is wearing Titan blue seems to love this move. Corey Curtis joins us now, News 2, as he always does on a Friday. Corey, let's start with this. Your reaction to Mike Vrabel elevating Tim Kelly to the offensive coordinator position, all the musical chairs that they have on offense. What do you make of it?
Well, number one, Kelly, not a surprise to any of us, right? Because we know how important trust and familiarity are to Mike Vrabel. So, you know, it was almost shocking that it seemed to take so long and that he might be considering other people. And it's kind of exciting to think, hey, maybe they're going to bring some new ideas. And maybe he's got some different ideas. But if he had different ideas, I think last year was a year to try to bring some of them out. So, you know, there's that. As far as the shuffling of the staff, Mike has worked with a lot of these guys for like 5 years, so he knows what their strengths and weaknesses are. And, you know, we shuffle things all the time. And, you know, like Tony Dews had a ton of success coaching running backs, whether it be Derrick Henry or Deontay Foreman or Dontrell Hilliard. I mean, they're guys who came here and did stuff that they never really did before. So, you know, I think Tony Dews is showing he can coach. And, you know, he's a guy who also spent a wide receiver and tight ends coach before. And maybe they think, you know, he's someone to get more out of a position that they want to get more out of. I'm just speculating. The thing I think with him is I look at Chig Okonkwo, and I think, you know, Chig Okonkwo can be a dude. I mean, he can be a playmaker for the Titans. They just got to figure out ways to get him the ball and ways to make it happen. And when I saw that, that was kind of my initial reaction. You know, as far as some of the other moves, you know, moving Pat O'Hara off quarterbacks, Charles London in, again, another Texans guy, so not real surprising. I think the Chris Harris hire is, you know, seems exciting in a position group that needs to perform at a higher level. So I'm kind of anxious to see how that goes. But, you know, to me, the biggest hire in this is going to be Jason Hoetteling. Because if he fails, Tim Kelly's going to fail. If he succeeds, Tim Kelly's going to succeed. I think that hire is more important for the Titans right now than the offensive coordinator hire. Because if they can't do it on the inside, they're not going to do it anywhere else on the outside.
Corey, what do you make of the idea of where Mike Vrabel stands right now? Because every single person I've talked to here just loses their pants every time they talk. Oh, Vrabel, he's such a great coach. And, I mean, my God, the only reason Tennessee's ever won a football game is because they have Mike Vrabel. And mm-hmm. yet at the same time, they lost seven games in a row down the stretch. He brought back Todd Downing. You know, the fact that he gets no criticism for Todd Downing, I think is a little ridiculous because he brought Todd Downing back. So he gets no criticism for that. None of that stuff. And yet I do wonder, after losing seven in a row and we saw the owner go off and fire the general manager this year, where does Vrabel stand?
You know, you bring up Todd Downing. I still don't know if he thinks Todd Downing did a bad job. Because like Todd Downing's calling the offense that he wanted him to call, right? I mean, because it's not Todd Downing's offense; it's Vrabel's offense, and he's running the one he wants to. And you know, when like we saw with Shane Bowen, the year he was the defensive coordinator, not the defensive coordinator, he didn't blame Shane Bowen. Who did he blame? He blamed players. And when I got new players, so they got rid of Todd Downing. I think the DUI has to do something with it. I think. Optically, there was just about no way they could do it from what they were doing. They just couldn't keep him, and he had Tim Kelly on, who we all thought was the OC in waiting anyway. But I think the fall guys for Vrabel on the offense, or the offensive line, as it should be, because the group performed really porously, and Keith Carter, who he seemed to have some, I don't know, they were more, I don't want to call them terse words for, but like there were some, kind of some coded words that he wasn't real happy there. With and why he made the change, and that's like as close as I've heard him to not being happy with a coach was when he talked about what did he say that the offensive line coach would be in step with the offensive coordinator now or something like that. Wasn't along those lines.
I thought when he said like that was my first hire doing this and now I know better was kind of a tell.
Yeah, he did say that too. So again. You know, I don't know how much he blames Todd Downing, but the fact is he is going to another guy he knows and he trusts. And but I'm a just, you know, look, Andy Reid.
So where do you think he stands?
Where do I think Vrabel stands? I think Vrabel stands in a pretty good spot. And I guess that's where this all starts. I mean, you know, I think, you know, nationally he is a presence. And I think like you're saying, there's a perception that Tennessee couldn't walk in a straight line without, you know, Mike Vrabel, which isn't true. But look, you know, and I know, Will, he's a good football coach, right? He's a good coach. He's prepared. He knows the rules. He's a leader of men. There's a lot of things he does that are good. But you can't escape, you know, losing seven in a row. You can't escape, you know, not doing things, you know, offensively, you know, falling off the last couple of years. And again, that's going to go on personnel. is what the, you know, I think nationally the perspective is going to be, and I think that's what his perspective is going to be, and I have a hard time arguing with some of it, because without an offensive line and without wide receivers, it's tough to score points. But you know, I think what you're getting at is, if he goes 5-12, is he fired? And I'm going to say, if he goes 5-12, it's because there are some catastrophic problems with the roster that haven't been fixed. I hate to say that he's too good of a coach, but I think he's too good of a coach to take a team to 5-12 that isn't 5-12 roster-wise.
Corey Curtis, News 2, is with us on the program. Your initial thoughts on the Super Bowl?
You know, I think I beg to say two best teams, because these teams have been like top three or four in power rankings virtually all year. I mean, they have been up there and they have done it and they have been consistent. You know, they're both, you know, wonderfully coached. They're both built to win now. And it should be a good game. I like the Eagles because I think overall they're better. I can go more in depth on that if you want. But I look for Mahomes to have one of those efforts where you're like, man, Mahomes kept them in that game. He battled and he kept them in that game. But I think the Eagles will be too much.
Why do you think that Mahomes has been so successful? Do you think it's his talent, or do you think it's the way Kansas City grew him? Because if they win another Super Bowl, everybody in the league is going to try to do what Kansas City did, and that may be the Titans this year, which is to jump up, take a guy, stick him on the bench, and develop him. And I don't know if that's as feasible without an Andy Reid or without the Mahomes person himself.
Well, Andy Reid is a huge part. I mean, he is a generational coach. You know, he's not Bill Belichick, but, you know, he didn't have Tom Brady either. He did it for a long time with a lot of other dudes. I mean, Andy Reid won with Kevin Cobb. Andy Reid won with Nick Foles. Andy Reid won with Alex Smith. I mean, I can go on and on with Andy Reid won with. And they all, like, played at their – name a quarterback who didn't play at their highest level for Andy Reid. I mean, Andy Reid can coach, and he can coach offense. There is no doubt about it. I think Patrick Mahomes is clearly athletically special. I mean, he just makes throws that other people can't, right? I mean, he just, like, at angles, at distances. I mean, he makes plays, and he's with a great coach. So it's a wonderful, wonderful combination. You know, he's more athletically gifted than Tom Brady was, right? But, you know, does that mean he's a better quarterback? You know, there's a lot that goes to that position. It's not just throws. It's not just no-look throws. But, you know, I think one of the great things for Patrick Mahomes this year was losing Tyreek Hill and still performing at an MVP level. And I know people say, well, you had Juju Smith-Schuster. Juju Smith-Schuster is not Tyreek Hill. Come on now. I mean, Tyreek Hill is a mutant. And he did it without him. I know Travis Kelce's a great player, but that relationship is part of what makes Travis Kelce a great player.
Fireball Hot Take Friday, Corey Curtis, News 2. What's your hot take this week?
You know what? I just think we got to put a bow on this year and how absolutely rotten it has been for the Tennessee Titans. And it just felt like, you know, just a big giant pile of garbage. So we're going to make A.J. Brown the Super Bowl MVP.
Ooh, that would be putting a bow on the season of horrible for the Titans.
Yep.
Corey Curtis, as always. Corey, great stuff. Appreciate it. We'll talk next week.
Hey, glad to have you at the Super Bowl. Glad to have you bringing us everything you did. Safe travels, and enjoy your time.
All right, looking forward to it. Corey Curtis, News 2, as always, joining us on the program. Let's get to some phone calls, because CJ2K is going to join us later this hour. Chris Johnson, we'll run through your phones next, though. 615-737-1025 here on the program. Stillman & Company, FanDuel Sportsbook, my official sportsbook app. We have all of our systems when we bet, from picking the perfect upset to combing through injury reports the night before the game. But there's one thing every bettor should include in their system: the responsible gaming tools available on FanDuel Sportsbook. These tools help keep your play in check and under control. Tools like time limits, so you don't unknowingly spend more time on the app than you intend. Wager limits to help prevent you from betting more than you should. And you can even take a timeout, which pauses your account for as long as you may need. FanDuel wants every bettor's experience to be about fan entertainment, so visit FanDuel.com/playwell and make responsible gaming tools a part of your system. 21 and older and present in Tennessee. Gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.
What do you think about the fact that you made it to the Super Bowl and they didn't even make the playoffs this year? Titans.
I have no comment on that. It would be a question from you.
Hey, guys, that was A.J. Brown on Monday night. He will be in the Super Bowl. I did promise phones before Chris Johnson joins us, 615-737-1025. Phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Texture says, Jared, the Titans are about to be stuck in no man's land. They don't have a good rookie quarterback or an elite quarterback. The cash to Tannehill is the biggest obstacle this team faces. The past two Super Bowls Philadelphia has been in is because they had rookie quarterback deals and great rosters. It's the same model 5 years apart. And I would say this, the Titans are not going to live in no man's land for very long. Like, right, this isn't the Predators where, you know, oh, well, we did good enough. That's fine. You all should be happy. That's not what they do. What's going to happen is, let's say they run it back with Tannehill and Henry, which we don't know for sure, but I probably feel good enough about the idea that they're going to run it back with Tannehill and Henry. I believe that if it doesn't work this upcoming season, and I said yesterday, my expectations, if Tannehill is the quarterback, if Aaron Rodgers is not the guy, if Tannehill's the quarterback, my expectation is that the Titans win the division. And then you go from there. If that doesn't happen, Derrick Henry's not back, Tannehill's not back, and you probably do blow it up. And they will. And if they don't win the division, Vrabel may not be the coach. I mean, I know it's crazy to say, but lose again for 2 years in a row and all of a sudden people's opinions change a little bit. I don't think it's going to be as drastic as what Kyle Shanahan did in San Francisco, which was he threw his hands up and said, I'm done with Jimmy. Moving on. But I think it's going to be close. So this is the last year that this crew's got a shot at it to prove if they can do it or not. And they're going to have a bunch of changes in a different offensive line. And a lot of the guys, the core guys, aren't going to be here going forward. We don't know about Ben Jones. I think Taylor Lewan's out. I was talking to Jim Wyatt. I didn't actually read Jim Wyatt's article, but I did talk to Jim Wyatt about it, about how Taylor Lewan kind of opened up here at the Super Bowl about his future with the team and what's next with the team and what they're going to do with the team and all that kind of stuff. And I just said to Jim, I said, I think Taylor Lewan is going to retire. Like, I think Taylor Lewan's about to make $15 million, and he says, you know, maybe I'll take a pay cut. He's probably thinking takes a pay cut to $10 million, to $9 million. And I'm thinking he takes a pay cut to $2 million, and he's a swing tackle. He's not a left tackle. Well, he's not going to do that. And I doubt he's going to want to go anywhere else in the NFL and be a swing tackle. But nobody can pay him the money to be the left tackle of the Titans or to be the left tackle of their team and expect him to do it, because if he gets hurt, then it's going to be like the Titans this past year with Dennis Daly and everybody ends up getting fired. Texter says it's a fireball hot take to think that the Titans aren't that far behind either of these Super Bowl teams. That's Jared and Spring Hill. Let me say this. People forget about where the Eagles were this time last year. The Eagles were the seventh seed in the NFC. They got crushed in that playoff game by Tampa Bay. And this time last year, I'm not a Philly radio host, but I assume that if I was a Philly radio host, I would have been asking the questions to Mike Lombardi and to Thomas Dimitroff and to all the guys that we've had on this week. I'll ask Chris Johnson about Tannehill. And I would have asked those guys those questions about Jalen Hurts. And I would have said, do you think Jalen Hurts is a franchise guy? Because that was the question around here and around the league last offseason, was what does Philadelphia think of Jalen Hurts? they didn't want Jalen Hurts off the jump. They wanted Carson Wentz, and Carson didn't want to come back. So then they go through 1 year with Jalen, and he wins a little bit, and he shows a little something, something. And the quarterback class last year freaking sucked. And so then they say, all right, we don't want Kenny Pickett. We don't want Malik Willis. We don't want Desmond Ridder. We don't want any of those guys because they stink. Now, Pickett doesn't stink, and obviously Purdy looks like he's going to be a player, but we don't want any of those guys, so we're moving off that, and we want to focus in on who we can have. And maybe that's next year, so let's trade with the Saints and get another pick, and then maybe we go and draft a quarterback. Well, now Jalen Hurts is clearly their franchise guy. I mean, I don't think he's an elite quarterback, but he's clearly their franchise guy. A year ago, they didn't know that. The Titans were the number one seed in the AFC. Football is made so that a team that was picking number one overall last year in Jacksonville ends up playing in the divisional round of the playoffs this year. They had an easier schedule than everybody else. That's why Jacksonville, everybody's picking Jacksonville next year. Well, they get Mahomes, Burrow, and Allen, and the Titans don't. Texter says, Titans are starting with in a better place with Rand Carthon taking over than they were when John Robinson took over. And that is true. When John Robinson took over, things were so bad. That was the one thing that used to bother me when Robinson got fired, from a lot of the skepticism of our takes about how could you do this in the middle of the season? And I got frustrated because so many people were like, well, I mean, you know, he missed on Caleb Farley. Right. I thought that Caleb Farley pick was stupid too. But Robinson took this team from the worst team in the league 2 years running into a compete for the playoffs every year type of team. And now they right now have that same mentality and that those same level of expectations. And that's why I said, I hope with Rand Carthon that we have the same level of expectations as we do with John Robinson, because they are Rand Carthon and Vrabel this upcoming season. They are starting in a better place. Texter to the text line says, Jerry, have you gotten any Philadelphia radio hosts that are as big of a homer as Jason Anderson was in the first hour talking about Kansas City? Let me say this. No. I do think I would be interested in having a Philly radio host on, but I'm not like going to go out of my way to go get a Philly guy to be like, all right, give us the Philly preview, because I'm just not sure enough people care about that. You know, with Jason, I know he's going to talk weird about the Titans and how far away the Titans are from the Chiefs. And it's like the guy who texted in and said that the Titans are nowhere near these two teams. The Titans had Kansas City dead to rights on the road on Sunday Night Football with Malik Willis at quarterback. You think that this team's that far away? I think this team still has something to it. And I mean, they almost made the playoffs with Josh Dobbs as the quarterback. Texter says, by the story on Mahomes, it sounds like he had someone scout him, and then they made moves to get him. Since Rand Carthon is so good at evaluating and scouting talent, could the Titans eventually get their Mahomes? Anything's possible. With Vrabel as the coach, I find it highly unlikely that the Titans would be able to pull off a move for a Patrick Mahomes and be able to raise him right and be able to put the players around him correctly. And that's no knock on Vrabel, but Vrabel's not a quarterback guy. Vrabel's not a Bill Walsh guy. Vrabel's not a Shanahan. Vrabel was a defensive player. He was a defensive coach, and his teams are not the quarterback-centric guru philosophy Montana type teams. It's the tough, the gritty, the hardworking, what he came from, what he was as a player kind of teams. And it's hard to find that Mahomes if you're doing it that way. 615-737-1025. CJ2K joins us next here on the program. Fireball Hot Take Friday. I love Fireball whiskey. If you are having a big game party, you need to make sure that you include Fireball. That's right. You do not want to have that party and not have Fireball at your disposal. So be sure to include it. It goes down so smooth and it tastes so great. There's no better way to ignite the night and to ignite your big game party this weekend than to do it with ice cold Fireball cinnamon whiskey. That's Fireball whiskey. Ignite the night. Please do it responsibly and be 21 years or older to enjoy Fireball cinnamon whiskey. Stillman & Company live out at Radio Row here, presented by Social Furniture. Chris Johnson, former Titans running back, joins us here on the program. Chris, good to see you, man.
Good to be here, man. Good to be here.
It's good to have you. All right, so let's start with this. One thing I was really disappointed with yesterday was that the Hall of Fame comes out, you know, with who's in and who's out, who's going to make the Hall of Fame.
Right.
Bud Adams not in. They only put in one of those contributors a year.
One a year.
I mean, again, Bud Adams founded the AFL. We wouldn't have the Super Bowl without the AFL-NFL championship.
Right.
How do you feel as a guy who played when Bud Adams was still around and obviously to see the Titans what they are today in the league itself?
Oh, man, that's absolutely crazy. We know how the Hall of Fame works. You know, they let in who they want to let in, when they want to let them in. But like you say, you got a guy like Bud Adams. You go from the Oilers to the Titans, and for him to have these two good organizations, and then, like, I think he was the founder of the AFC,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
AFC and stuff like that. So a guy that has gave so much to this game, it's just like, how long are you going to make a guy wait?
What do you think about the job that Amy Adams Strunk has done as owner of the Titans?
Amazing. Amazing. Since Amy came in, it's like, you know, she's doing whatever it takes to win. She's running that organization how it's supposed to be ran. She's bringing the guys in there to help us win. She's doing the things that what it takes to get to the next level as far as the Super Bowl. She just made a great hire with Ron Carthon. Or whatever like that. She's just doing what it takes.
Chris Johnson's our guest. How much longer do you think Derrick Henry can continue to play at the level that he's playing at?
I think he got some years. And the reason why I think that is because the way that the NFL offenses have evolved, like,
mm-hmm.
You're not able to hit how you usually can hit guys. Even though it didn't really change much for running backs. But still, at the end of the day, like, they're passing the ball so much. And I just feel like it's really going to be up to the team, the head coach, the offense coordinators, and just see how they want to work it. He's done so much in his league already. I think by them getting a guy in there to able to spell him,
mm-hmm.
get him in there, third downs, run some routes, a guy that can come in there and take over the whole series, a couple series away from him, so we don't have to go in there and be like, oh, we're running Derrick 30 times this game, 35 times this game. That's going to help prolong his career. I think that's something the Titans are going to do, and I think that will give him a couple more years. I think, what, he going on year 6 or 7?
I think this is going to be 8 for him.
Year 8. Oh, yeah, year 8. So,
Chris Johnson's with us. What do you think of Tannehill?
Tannehill? You know, I feel like Tannehill, I feel like he's a game manager. He's a good quarterback. I've never been that guy that will take anything away from a player,
mm-hmm.
or, you know what I'm saying? Because,
sure.
You know, I wish the best for everybody. And I feel like his game – I feel like his game don't fit where the Titans are trying to go.
What do you mean by that?
Okay. So if you got a guy like Derrick, right?
Mm-hmm.
And let's just play you the defensive coordinator, and you're playing the Titans. What are you going to do?
Load the box.
Exactly. So you got to have a guy back there that can throw the ball over the field that can back those guys up.
Mm-hmm.
I can't lie. It don't help that we let A.J. Brown left.
Mm-hmm.
Know what I'm saying?
Yep.
But if you get some receivers, you need a quarterback that can throw it over the field. And that's way they still going to respect Derrick. It's going to be 8 in the box sometime. But it's not like we're going to play you 8 in the box all game and we're going to make somebody else beat us. If you got a quarterback back there that can throw the ball over the field, you got to be honest, and it would make the whole offense better.
So what do you think of it? Chris Johnson's with us. When people talk about how Aaron Rodgers building a house in Nashville, mm-hmm. Aaron Rodgers, the Packers may want to move off of Aaron Rodgers. What do you make of what that means for the Titans? Should they be in the Rodgers sweepstakes? And even at 39, what would that mean if they brought Aaron Rodgers in?
Yeah, well, I look at it like when people start going and saying a certain person or whatever player, they building a house here and this and that. Like, it'd be a different story if we was talking about, like, Cleveland, or if he didn't play for Green Bay and he was building a house in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. But Nashville is a up and growing city, and it's a lot of people moving there. But being that he is moving there and, you know, he's close in, I would definitely be in on the Aaron Rodgers sweepstakes. Like, just imagine we have A-Rod and Derrick Henry in the backfield together. It's crazy.
You think the Titans could compete for a Super Bowl with that?
Of course. We just need – we get those two. I still feel like if we get those two, we still need a receiver.
Mm-hmm.
We still need a receiver. And then I think the way our defense is playing, the way our front seven is playing, that would definitely make us a Super Bowl contender.
Chris Johnson is with us here on the program, former Titans running back. What do you make of, you know, Vrabel and his ability as a coach, the fact that the Titans have all these injuries and they're still always competing?
Man, it's crazy. Being that Vrabel was a player and didn't have too long off of that from, like, retirement to now coach, it's just showing you, like, the mindset that players have. Like, it's the next man up. That was always beat into our head. It's the next man up. Always be ready for your opportunity. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that is what mindset, and that's what approach Mike Vrabel always stick with, always go with, because it seems like we always have a lot of injuries, but the next man always step up, and that never affects us. That never affects us. We always still put ourselves in. We always compete, and we always in the game, no matter if we got two players injured or if we got 20 players injured. We always competing.
You said that you like the hire of Rand Carthon. Why?
Man, it's just – so when I look at it, you look where you come from. San Fran.
Mm-hmm.
Not to only mention, I live in Orlando. So back when I was in high school, back then, you know, you only seen – it's different now. The cable is different now. So in college in Orlando, you only seen Florida State, Florida, and Miami games.
Mm-hmm.
So I used to see – I used to check
them out. He was a badass running back.
Right. I used to check him out. You know what I'm saying? But – seeing where he coming from, he come from San Fran. Look at the moves San Fran was making.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you got Debo, you got Christian McCaffrey, you got Garoppolo before he got hurt. You got Kittle. You got all these pieces. And that's come from the organization putting this together. So I feel like if he come over there with that same recipe, it has no choice but to be contagious over here with the Titans. Come over there with that same recipe and – do whatever it takes to win. That's already Miss Amy mindset. So it's like we're going to bring whatever players we have to in here to win. Like, the big thing about it, like, they already were stacked on offense. They didn't need Christian McCaffrey.
Mm-hmm.
But they still brought him in because they want to do whatever they got to do to win. So I feel like that's why I like that hire.
What do you think about your career when it comes down to being a Titan? Do you have regrets about your career as a Titan? Are you proud of your career as a Titan? Because I do think that when they start moving to the next era for the Ring of Honor and things like that, you're probably right there with some of the guys that would enter in that next wave. What do you think about when you think back to your career as a Titan?
I don't regret nothing about my career as a Titan. Like,
mm-hmm.
I feel like I feel like I had one of the best careers as a Titan. Like, I don't know how the Ring of Honor thing go and stuff like that and how the wave go, but when you look up there in the stadium and you see the names that's in the Ring of Honor, I don't think that you can mention either one of those guys up there and say they had a better career than me or I don't belong up there with them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know we got, I think, Wycheck, Eddie, we got McNair up there, Earl Campbell. You mention those guys, you can't tell me you're going to leave me off that list.
What I remember about you with the Titans was that from a national perspective, and the Titans don't get a lot of love with this, when you were doing your thing, it felt like you put the Titans on the map at that time.
Right. Right. I feel like that, yeah. And then, like, you just look at it. You look at a lot of my seasons that I had. Like, perfect example, when we were just talking about earlier, you bring a quarterback in there where they can't stack eight in the box on the Derrick Henry, right?
Mm-hmm.
All my seasons that I was there as a Titan, every year, year in, year out, it was eight in the box. It's crazy you mentioned that because the other day I was watching the game. I watched a few of my games in every single – I probably didn't recognize it then. Well, I knew it then, but, like, when you go back, you look at it and you just be like, wow, I can't even imagine how many plays back-to-back-to-back. They got 8-9 guys in the box, and they understand that I'm putting this team on my back. I'm doing whatever it takes to get this victory, to get this win. I'm going to do whatever it takes. Like, I'm with it, so.
Quickly, tell us about the podcast.
Oh, Smash and Dash Podcast, me and Lindell White.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. He's a character. You know, we talk about everything, not just sports. We talk about everything. And, you know, we drop every week, all type of topics. So, man, it's definitely lovely. It's definitely lovely.
CJ, good to see you, buddy.
Thank you.
More Stillman and Company live from Radio Row, presented by Social Furniture, right here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.